The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side, and joining us as he does every single week, the King of Philly, who, at least from a football perspective, is on cloud nine because his Eagles are in the Super Bowl. As expected, Phil, we thought your Eagles would be flying still, and here they are, ready to go to the big show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, man. Glad you could join us, as always, and reflecting upon what was obviously a tough week last week, as we had previewed the Purdue game, the number one team in the country, and you and I talked about it. I thought they've been the number one team all season long, and other teams have been in that perch, but now they're consensus, unanimous number one, and a big reason why is the big fella, Zach Edey, and he was big in the game against you guys.
Well, no question. They have a very comfortable plan. They have a outlet on every play in that both of the freshman guards know that they can put the ball up in the air. He has terrific hands, terrific feet. And you have to have a plan. And obviously we had a plan. Everybody's tried different things. Do you W, do you let it go one-on-one. You really have to concentrate. I think the big number with him is his offensive rebounds. At one point, I know he was close to leading the country in offensive rebounding. We did not want him to take a shot and get that back. And then at the other end, you have to engage him in number of ball screen actions. All of that was attempted. Like early on, what I'm impressed with is early on the road in this league, and you know everybody's hyped, and the crowd was great, and the noise was terrific. And then you have to make sure that what they do early is they go to him early and often to kind of like stabilize those younger players. Really, really smart plan. And at the end of the day, some of those other guys getting buckets and those freshmen being able to play older is because they have that low post presence, particularly at the offensive end of the floor.
Right. We saw your plan on the offensive end from Hunter's perspective look a lot like we saw last year, being out on the perimeter where and not where Zach Edey wants to be. Again, engaging him in ball screen actions, like you said. Hunter hit a couple of threes early. The efficiency kind of dipped there, but we saw that plan. And then another piece I think we see with Hunter in general of late, and I wonder if this is a coaching point or an adjustment for him. It looks like he's getting into his move quicker. It looks like he's trying to make a decision quicker because it feels like teams are just doubling him on the catch now. And I'm curious, is that a coaching point or an adjustment on his part?
Well, again, because of the laboratory, with Hunter and Juwan, all of those things are discussed when they do their individual sessions, when we do our player development sessions. And to generalize, quicker is better for Hunter. And there has been an admirable attempt at making those adjustments, and he will have to continue because – to come out and to move back up the standings, there's no question we're going through Hunter. And he is seeing every imaginable double team. And again, on Thursday night, he will see a big, big double team, which we haven't seen a lot of, but Northwestern is committed to. So quicker decisions, better care of the ball is what we're looking for with Hunter, those two things. Quicker and better with passing out of those double teams and then getting into a repost position.
talking to Phil Martelli this morning here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. So you're out, you're without Jet in that game, right? So, you know, you already go in at a deficit and you're playing with them and really push them to the hilt. They're a tough team to guard anyway, but under the circumstances, I mean, I thought it was the best half of the season in the first half that you guys had and gave yourselves a chance to win. It felt like to me, Phil, coming out of that game, that if you could just bottle up everything from focus, execution, energy perspective, and apply it the rest of the way, that, man, that was going to give you a chance to win a lot of games. And it just didn't feel like it carried over to the Penn State game. I'm curious your perspective on that.
I was, again, impressed with the competitive nature of the Purdue game. And I think that one of the things when you come out of those kind of games, you have to be honest and say, yep, it was a terrific compete, but did we ever put real game pressure on? And the second thing is you can never let one of those games against, you know, a national power really cost you the next day or the next day or the next day. And there were a number of challenges. Late game, minus a player, the amount of energy that we expended, and then Friday, how much can you get done? You know, walking out of that building at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then early game Sunday, all those kind of things that with a younger team, you have to address. They were addressed, and you are right. We were slugging it through and slogging it through, so to speak, those first 15, 16 minutes, and we got to that. We got 31-30, Dredd hit a shot right in front of us, basically a desperation three, but raises up and makes his three, and then the floodgates. I think it was an 18-0 run, and we never really connected with the game after that, not just physically, but mentally, psychologically. So that's the disappointment that you come away with. We have to show up every day. We have to engage in the competition. And for that day, after taking that kind of, oh, woe is us kind of shot, we were unable to connect across the board, not just individual players, the team collectively. All of us are responsible for staying engaged in the competition, and that didn't happen in the second half against Penn State.
Yeah, Juwan took much the same tone. Said, you know, he said, "Look, I didn't have us prepared. That's on me." And you want to hear that from your coach, whether you're a fan watching, certainly if you're a player on the team, that hey, it's all of us. So from a coaching perspective, Phil, because you know it, defense has been an issue this season, not just in that game. Part of it is, you know, things you can't do anything about. You can't just get quicker overnight. You can't get more depth overnight. You can't get more size in the backcourt overnight. There are some things that are just built in boilerplate that you just got to deal with. My question for you from a coaching perspective is, where can you get better? What are the things that you look at defensively where you say, all right, this is something we can do something about. This is where we can get better. What would those things be?
Well, for sure, we can be a better rebounding team. And again, that's collective. It's not an individual guy. It's not T. Will get three more rebounds or Hunter two more guards collectively get. No, it's across the board. And it has to begin with a physical – accepting the physical challenge, the block out, that's one. And I think the other area is shot contest. We have to get a handball contest on every single shot, even if it's a late handball contest. those two areas to me are talked about, worked on. You've seen some not just attempts, but that you've seen some growth in the use of zone defense. I mean, a straight zone, not a matchup, straight zone. But everything is on the table. But if it's specific areas, I think our blockouts and our shot contest have got to improve these last 10 Big Ten games.
When you look at, I mean, I guess, you know, I talk about defense because that's the place that I think the where the struggles have emerged most. But on the offensive end of the floor, I mean, I think we've seen some improvement there. I really think Doug has come a good distance since he took over in that role. It definitely feels like Jed is feeling more comfortable in his skin there. But improvement as we get into like this very pivotal part of the season for you guys, you're going to get together. Where do you want to see? Where are the places where you think you can improve on that end of the floor?
Pace, and pace. Our feeling is that if we can get a better pace, not just in the full court, not just transition, but pace, get the ball in, let's get going. It will open up the floor a little bit more for Hunter. But that's the focus. The playbook is extensive. The player's awareness. I mean, it's not like we're getting in the middle of a play and saying, no, you're in the wrong spot or none of that. You know, the strength of Juwan's mind and ATO's, no, it's not that. It's the pace with which we are putting the other team, putting ourselves in an attack, and the other team hopefully on their heels in some way, so that a mistake can be made. We have all the numbers and in the shot clocks, and it's not that we want to rush into shots, but we're getting too deep into shot clocks on multiple possessions in games.
Yeah, I got a question from a fan to put along to you. I thought it was a really good one. It said, you know, Phil has had a long and distinguished career as a coach. Are there prior seasons where he's experienced bumps like this and responded to it successfully before? Can you draw on a similar experience in your career, Phil?
Well, I don't think it's just my career. And I've referred to this in our offices. Our first year together with an older group, you know, Xavier Simpson and John Teske and Austin Davis and that group, we couldn't sniff a win on the road in the Big Ten. And I can remember sitting back and saying, wow, you have to win on the road. We can play so well at home and neutral that year. We played great. But we have to win on the road. And I remember talking to people and saying, Juwan's NBA experience is really paying off because there's a calm. There's about this day. So the biggest thing is, yes, this is a bump. And knocked down, yes, but we're not knocked out. So what we have to do is live by the mantra of 1% today. And today is the only day. And if we're still today saying, well, you know, that Purdue game, if this had happened, if we had made a foul shot here, we're not making the advancements. So I think it's the complete and total focus on the day at hand and not what has happened or what could happen three games from now or Sunday against Ohio State. No, it has to be total focus today is preparation to play tomorrow night versus Northwestern.
A couple of questions here real quick in reaction. This actually comes from the crowd. You mentioned you have an extensive playbook. Coach, is there any thought, is there anything to simplifying, especially on defense? That was one question. And another one, do you have a health update on Yo-Yo?
Well, Yo-Yo has been able to practice. He practiced the day before the Penn State game, if I'm remembering correctly. He had just been shooting up until then. He had full practice on Saturday, and then a full practice. We were off Monday, and then a full practice yesterday. So there have been no steps back in terms of scaling back Saturday or Tuesday. So we'll see how it goes today with him in preparation for tomorrow night. And offensively, we have scaled back. We don't run as many things as are in the playbook. I think the question said about defensively, scaling it back. I would say we are more focused on a scouting report defense now. So for instance, a blitz on a ball screen needs to be part of the package for Northwestern, and it will be. And maybe on the side, not icing the ball screen, depending upon the opponent, is how the defensive playbook is utilized.
All right, so Phil, every game is big moving forward, right? But this is a team, they're coming off, I think they just lost, and then you beat them the last time out. You did a really effective job of staying in front of their backcourt, especially in the first half of that game. As you look at this matchup with Northwestern on the road, kind of give me the keys to the matchup with the Wildcats.
Well, you make a great point, and it's accepting the individual challenge. Boo Booey and Chase Audige are a terrific backcourt. They're a high-volume backcourt. They take about 29 shots a game. They're getting, I think, 34, 33 points between them. And then all of a sudden, a kid who had a terrific game against us, Robbie Byrne, who plays the four and the five for them, he's shooting almost 50% over their last six games. The kid off the bench, Barnheiser, has dramatically improved, playing with great confidence. They're without Julian Roper. He did not play last night at Iowa. And they are a terrific, terrific home team. And everybody wants to focus on, well, do they shoot better? Here's the deal. They are in the top five. They were number one going into their Sunday game. They were number one in the country at two-point percentage defense. They are a great defensive team. They switch everything. They double the post all the time. So everything that we've seen, we have to, like, sharpen up. And then you have to address the fact that on the road, and you're a little bit bloody. Your knees are bloody. Wipe it off, and we are going to have to, as we did in Ann Arbor with them, we're going to have to compete at both ends of the floor. We ended up winning that game, scoring 85 points. We're going to have to be in that vicinity again against a terrific defensive team.
Well, Phil, I tell you this all the time, man. I appreciate you. Come on every week, win or lose, success or adversity, and you come on and talk about it with equal detail. So that is not lost on me, and hopefully it's not lost on the fans. It's also not lost on me that you're a Philly guy, man, and I didn't get a comment from you about the Eagles being in the Super Bowl. I get it, but let's finish on that note. I mean, you know, your Eagles are there.
Sunday was a rough day, so I will admit to I stared at the screen when I came home, but I had actually already started my Northwestern scout. I was elated, and then I was elated when I got reports later that the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that took to the streets stayed calm, and maybe we're becoming a city of champions. You know how that's how I feel about them, but now it's proven out to the nation. So enjoy the preparation. And that's what I hope for everybody. And go Birds.
All right. Thanks a lot, Phil, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Phil Martelli. It's great, man. Tough spot. Really tough spot to be in. There are things that they can't control, but there are some things that they can control. And, you know, he's very candid about the Penn State game. And they just, he's what he said, they slogged through it. You know, it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same presence that we saw against Purdue. And he said that's the whole team. That's players and coaches. And that's how you want, that's what you want to hear. You want to hear them all take ownership, which not surprised they did. Juwan did the same thing. So, you know, now you got to pick yourself up. This is a team that you beat before. If you can go out and do the same things that you did defensively in that game where they, you know, you were able to limit that backcourt, that continues to be the key to me in this game. Yeah, Robbie Barron came in and hit some shots. He was tough to deal with, but I'd rather deal with him and see if he can beat you than Ardige and Boo Booey. Michigan did an effective job on them in the last game, and they got to do it again. We got to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, we will catch up with Steve Clark. As we do every single Wednesday. Looking forward to that. The midweek peek with Steve. We'll return here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.